Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about my new office and why it was time for a change. Jill, this seems like a kind of a self-serving topic. I'm not sure I'd listen to a show like this with this type of title, but hey, before we get into that, let's take a question from a caller.
It's going to be funny, I promise. It's a good topic. Okay, Mark from Chicago asks, I've been listening for a while now and been wondering this. Is there enough land to go around? I love this question. I get this all the time.
Like three times a day now.
It's like, we're not Holland, where they're making more land, right? Which they are.
Making more land
Holland is, they are the experts, by the way. That is totally true. They have taken back and reclaimed
land from
the ocean. Thank you very much. I do know that one.
Cause you're smart and pretty and skinny.
Thank you. And I pay attention to Holland because my last name is Dutch. So anyway, there you go. So yeah, they're not making more land. Wait a minute, what's going to happen?
So seriously, in Holland, they like they're reclaiming
filling
in the ocean.
It. Yeah, they are reclaiming the land from the ocean.
You know, the whole Tokyo airport's made on like floating stuff like that too.
Well, this is not floating. This is really filling it in, and over time, taking it back. And there's places you can go and see where it used to end here, and now it ends here. You know, kind of thing with the buildings. It's really, really cool. So, okay,
we should do a show on creating land like that. I'm going to write that down.
That would be fun. So back to the topic. Am I worried? Oh my gosh, no.
There's millions and millions and millions and millions of subdivided pieces of property all over the country. So no.
You know what else?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say something too, because it's another podcast coming up, but we talked about this yesterday on our weekly member call with our other gig, which is you kind of can make your own land here.
Subdividing.
Yes. You mean you could take one APN. That's a big piece
assessor's
of property.
Assessor's parcel number.
Yeah, one property, one assessor's parcel number, and turn it into 10. You just made land.
You know, every time I hear that famous comment, buy land, they're not making any more.
Right.
That's silly.
It makes me laugh.
Me too. Because they are making more.
They are.
We make more.
There's enough to go around.
Yeah.
And even like you said, Stephen, do I worry about us or our associates step on each other's toes? No. I welcome it.
No, it's a good question. I stopped, and I had, like, when I started out in the late 90s, I had that question. You know, when is this all going to end? It's fun. It's great. Everybody very profitable. Well, here we are 16, 17 years later.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's because of the way that we tax property in this country. It's the property taxes drive the decision in a lot of cases for people to sell their property because they're not using it and they're tired of paying for it every year.
Exactly.
So, Mark, don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There is enough land to go around.
What
I
is
promise.
This topic today?
Okay. So here's my funny things about this topic. Number one, the funniest part is because it kind of ties into everything that we do, which is you finally got this corner lake office because, like our sellers, somebody had to die. You know?
We shouldn't really laugh.
True. No, I know it's not funny, but it happens. It's the circle of life. It's the circle of office space. You know?
I love this office.
I know.
We're in the office right now, and I absolutely love
you
it.
You have been dreaming about this space for so long. And that was one of my other points is, boy, how many times have you moved around within our office space till you finally found somewhere that you felt was home for you?
You know, I have to explain it because right now whoever's listening to this is like, what? You're the boss. Why don't you just do whatever
you want?
Take
your thing. Oh, yeah, it's true.
So we're
in we didn't kill our accountant. So we took their office. No.
We are in an executive office suite in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Which we occupy most of it.
And the guy that owns the whole place, he's a super good friend of Jill's. And And it's just it's a very affordable, incredibly awesome alternative to like signing a 10-year lease and getting your own office space, or God forbid, buy your own office building. I've been through
that's
that.
That's on my list here too. I was going to ask you about.
Okay. So, you know, you pay a monthly rent and you have a real receptionist. You have, all the copy paper you ever want. Everything's provided for
nice
you.
Nice kitchen.
Yeah.
Like my office, so, I have my own bathroom and right I don't have to take care of it.
It's right on the lake here in Scottsdale, or in one of the lakes in Scottsdale. And it's very, very, very high demand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know,
it's
his name's
real
Rex.
Estate.
The guy that owns this place is Rex. I've known him since the 90s or early 2000s. And I think he's charging way too little for the rent for what this is.
Don't.
Anyway, and the office that I always wanted came up.
Uh-huh.
It's for years and years we've been here. And
exactly.
I snagged it.
Yes. We pretty much have got all the.
And now Jill thinks it's appropriate for us to make a show out of that.
Prime real estate here. We have all the lake views. I got one at that down at the end, but I'm about to move into your old office here. That's coming.
Yeah, because everybody here at Landstay, our real regular land company, they stopped letting me talk to customers a long time ago.
Yes.
And it's kind of true with this office too. Like, can you imagine if I worked in the same office as all of our people?
Oh my gosh, it would not be fun.
They wouldn't.
Nobody
would
have
fun. It
would
just be a mess. I've been saying this for years.
It'd be a lot of crying.
When I don't go to work, we make more money.
That happens for both of us sometimes. I mean, yeah, that's funny how that happens. I make more money on vacation. That's why you were saying
right?
We should go away this weekend.
Yeah.
I do. We do make more money when we're away because we come up with the best ideas.
And then we just let the people do what they're all good people, every single one of them. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. And
we just hire them.
Yeah, let them go.
We have to leave them alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're there constantly, I do that to my assistant, Aaron. I'm constantly, can you do this? Can you take this? Handle this? Da, da, da. And just probably like, just let me finish a project, please. You know? I just keep adding things on her plate.
I do
so.
The same thing.
So
just,
that's
just before you came in here to do this show. I gave my guy, my assistant, like six projects, and this is what I said.
Oh no!
I gotta stop this. I said, look, just don't say anything. Just sit there and take notes. I'm gonna talk for like 4 minutes because we have to do this show at X time, and he did.
That's
and then
great.
He walked out and he was done.
Well, you know, that's we've talked about that. It's really important to find the right people that work well with you, you know, and especially as the boss, they need to work with you, not necessarily the other way around. And I think people get that confused sometimes. You should not be changing your thing. Sure, you don't want to run and yell at everybody, make them cry and expect that, but you need to find the right people that work with your personality and can follow it. Like me, my thing is I really want someone to follow me around the clipboard.
Yeah.
And I need, so my, I jokingly say that, but what it really means to me is I'm going to have 8 random things I'm going to come up with and I need you to handle them, period. And be able to change gears on a whim and keep up with me.
Yeah.
And I have that person now, and it's hard to find that person.
Yeah,
and that doesn't complain or cry or, you know, and they get them done. So whatever
cry.
Works, well, you know what I mean, but.
There's no crying.
There's no crying. I know, just teasing. There's no crying in baseball. You
all
know
right.
what
in
I mean.
In an effort to make this show something useful out of this topic.
Oh, I thought that was useful. All right. Go ahead.
You know, and all kidding aside, we are the on a forward ongoing basis for Land Academy, we're developing program after program after program, which allows our members to just do the fun stuff, just do the stuff that they're good at, which is making deals.
Right.
So, you know,
cashing checks.
And very near in the very near future, we're going to open up another level of membership, which involves us, our staff doing your deals, not locating them. Not doing mailers for you, but actually processing the transactions, doing the acquisitions, and then processing the sales.
Mm-hmm.
So it will allow our members to just do the stuff that they're talented, theoretically talented at, which is sourcing deals and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the paperwork and all that stuff gets done by our staff for a small fee.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's
which is really what we do, Jill. You know, we only just do the important stuff. Like I do the mailers and the data piece, and you do the kind of the talking to the customers on the buy and the sell side, and everybody else processes all their stuff for us, all of our stuff for us.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Yep. I love it. So
anyway,
back to the topic. So I just think it's interesting that how you got this this space is a result of, you know, something that just happens, and that happens with our sellers. And
just like everything, this space, this office space, is a result of failing at something for about 4 or 5 times until we finally got it right. You know, all this stuff happened before you came on, like 5 years ago, I guess. 6, 7 years ago? How many years is it?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I bought an office building. It was a disaster. I wrote a huge check at the end. We bought it in the absolute wrong time. You know, a couple million bucks I paid. I had to write a check to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, don't buy an office building.
Right.
I have a super good friend who's an attorney. You know him. And he's more of a friend than he is an attorney, but he's also my attorney. And he said that the biggest reason that people show up in his office suing each other is over, like, partners that are, where everything's going great. Right. It's because they bought an office building.
Really?
They thought they were tired of paying rent.
Oh.
And he said, geez, never, ever buy an office building unless you're, like, in that business.
Right.
And that's my advice for today.
I like that. Yeah, because I was going to ask you, like, you know, why this is better. So why else?
Why this executive office space is better?
Yeah, why else is this better? I mean, this is a good, there's a lot of alternatives out there. You know, there's a lot of people that I know that are very successful that work from home. Primarily, how about our really, really super awesome friends, you know, who live on the hill here?
Mm-hmm.
The guy technically owns and operates a bunch of assisted living facilities,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. He's my former partner.
Yeah. And
I used to be in that business.
Technically, he works from home. That's really his primary office.
Yeah.
He has an office, but he doesn't want to go.
He's got that figured out because, yeah, he's the same way. You know, I know him very, very, very well, and you do not want him in the working environment.
I only know the fun side of him.
I am. He's more, yeah.
Yeah.
He's more nuts than I am. He has no patience at all.
Oh.
In any way for any kind of, like, it's actually pretty, it's funny to watch how angry he can get. He'll just turn on a dime because he doesn't want to be there.
Ah.
You know? He just wants to do the fun stuff like everybody.
Exactly. We all want to do that. You got to work to that point. You can get there. You just got to work at it till you can get there and get the right people under you and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's
the reason that, you know, he bought me out of that partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason, because it's just unbearable to be around at work. And, you know me, I'm peaches and cream in the office. So he and I got along great.
I could just imagine. What was it?
Just,
what was the volume level like?
Yelling. It was constant. You know, why are you doing it? It's just not, you know, you and I haven't figured out.
We do.
The stuff that you're good at is different than what I'm good at. And, you know,
we pretty much stay out of each other's way.
We should do a show on partners, picking partners.
Oh, that would be a nice topic. I like that. That's a good idea. Well, you know, even having said that you and I work so well together, that...
Why do you think... Let's turn this into that show.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think we work well together? Because we really do.
I think because we have the same end goals. We agree on most things. We have the same...
You nailed it.
...values.
That's right.
The way we might get there different ways, but in the end, we're always going to do the right thing and we're not going to argue about it. You know, we joke sometimes, even if it costs more money, step up, do the right thing. Nobody has to convince each other. Just things like that I don't have to convince you of.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a short story.
Okay.
I went to, you know this, but I'm saying it to our listeners, the three people who are listening. I went to racing school. You know, I used to race superbikes, cafe racer, you know, crotch rockets.
Yes.
And one of the things that they teach you in racing school, and I don't know if they teach it in cars with cars or not, but is to look when you're all in your element, going 180 and you're all suited up. What you're supposed to focus on with your eyes is the lines in the road as far as you can see them. I mean, look as far as you can. You know, so picture you're winding through turns or whatever, or even on a straightaway. It's very easy to look straight down at what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Racing is all against human nature. Your body is telling you constantly, this isn't safe, stop it. So you have to fight your regular biological. And so you just want to look at what's right in front of you. What you need to do is pick a point as far as you can on the road on those lines, either the center line or the side lines on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And look as far as you head as possibly can. And it really changes how you steer and the whole thing. It's very calming, actually. I do it when I drive down. I catch myself doing it. I don't even, because I practice
it so much. That's interesting.
Well, you and I are always look when we look as far down the road. You and I have always kind of wanted to be in the same place in the way distance. We have way different ways of going about doing that.
True.
But I think that's one of the secrets to success with people in a marriage too. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to look.
Oh my gosh.
You got to be going in the same direction.
How many marriages didn't make it because they were good people, always good people, but they just had different goals in
or
the end and partners too. Yeah. I want to do this. They want to do that. It's not going to work out and that's okay.
Right.
It's just, you got to find that right person that really does have that same end goal with you. Right. I agree. That's a good story. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure. It's one of the stories where you didn't like, your eyes didn't glaze over.
I didn't glaze over. I'm not looking out the window. I'm not, you know, looking for birds.
Nail polish is still in your purse.
Yeah, I haven't got anything out. I'm not sitting on my phone making like dinner reservations.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in real estate investment and in life. That turned out to be useful.
So here's what I want to know. Tell us about when you stopped racing. I mean, there wasn't a big incident.
No, there was not. Fortunately, there wasn't. No, what happens is a switch flips. This is good for women to know.
Okay.
There's a switch that flips in all men's head at some point where they switch from being an insane, testosterone-filled young man into a responsible man. And then your body really does say, you just got to stop this. It's usually triggered by something like
having a child or getting married.
That was exactly what I was going to say is when you become a father.
Got it. So, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I still jump on a bike. You know this.
I jump on
a bike once in a while and go 190 just to get it out of my system. And then
I've seen you do it in nice shoes. You're the only man I know that'll jump on a motorcycle up in, you know, goofing off with some friends wearing your Gucci loafers. Nice.
You know what's funny about motorcycles? Anybody who rides a motorcycle knows this. There's people or buddies that you have that you have the same ride. Talk about partners, you know, and partnerships. There are people who have the same riding habits that you do.
Right.
And there are people who don't.
Right.
So like, I have a good friend. I'm not going to name any names. You know exactly who it is. Mm-hmm. Who drives his motorcycle like an old lady. And he's more concerned about how he looks on the bike than he is with, you know.
That's so
I have another
friend.
That'd
be like a guy. That sounds like a girl version of a guy of that. You know, a girl would be like, do I look good? Do my shorts match?
Right.
The motorcycle? Am I color coordinated okay?
I have another friend who's in his 70s or almost 70, who's a commercial contractor in Iowa. And he rides faster than I do.
Yeah.
He's a nutcase on a motorcycle. I also have a buddy who's a commercial airline pilot, not yet retired, but he's getting close to that age.
Yeah.
He's faster than I am.
Ah.
And this is not the Steve show, but I'm up to
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He's fearless.
Maybe he's used to going, you know what? Maybe because he's used to going 400 miles an hour.
You know,
by the way.
You've had a life full of pilots, a lot of pilots in your life. Are they all like that? Are they all just fearless, crazy men?
I have to say majority of them are.
Your dad was a commercial pilot, right?
Yes. And he took us on some adventures that were later on questionable that I probably shouldn't have taken my family on this trip. We were doing
like
this.
Like to Mexico City?
Yes.
Dropped you guys off in a, you
like
and your brother up in a
pretty
corner.
Much, leaving us in the corner and you know, whatever, you know. One time he left us in the middle of the lake on a raft. Because he needed gas or something. And my parents came back and they realized later on, this probably was not one of our best moves. Just, we're like, we're fine. So Jeff and I are there on a literally in the middle of a lake in Oklahoma on a raft, you know, and it was like it was like you float on it in your pool kind of a raft, like a sunbathing thing. We're like, hey, we're fine. Just leave us here. And they went to go get gas or get something and come back. And they're like, we can't believe it. They could have been run over. Anything could have happened to these kids.
You know, when you're a kid and you hear when you're younger and you hear these old people say like, oh, that's in my day.
Right.
We would drink from the hose. We should do a whole show like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
from the hose.
We didn't have any seatbelts. Everything's fine. You know, I used to drink lead paint, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I lived through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny.
You should do a show like that.
I'm not sure.
In the meantime, let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month.
Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.